This time, I would like to let you know that my thoughts this morning have been challenged in recent days, very recent days, about a two-word phrase, and the phrase is, so that. And even this morning, as our brother George Kurian, led us in worship, he read a portion from 1 John chapter 4, and it had that little two-word phrase, so that. And I thought that would be a very neat way to start this message. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, you don't have to turn to it, because this morning I'm going to read some verses, and this is one that I would like to read at the beginning. It says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, wait for it, here it is, so that we might live through him. So that. A number of years ago, it's been more than 10 years ago, I did a little writing. It was a devotional. Who knows, maybe it'll show up someday at the Emmaus blog, I don't know. But the title of it was called, So What About So That? It sounds like a confusing title. So What About So That? And so I revised what I had written about 12 years ago so that I would have verses and content in front of me. So if my head is down a lot this morning, normally I'm looking at everybody and making more eye contact. Just forgive me for that. But the idea is this. Normally when you hear someone say, so what, you think they're really saying, who cares? You've heard that before. Something exciting has happened and you say, well, so what? That little phrase becomes an expression of disinterest or contempt, especially when you hear the tone that the speaker may use. On the other hand, that little phrase, so that, sounds instructive and often means in order that a certain consequence or maybe something positive. If you do such and such, so that there is a good result that is going to come about. We see this in many scriptural passages. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we would read this. Remember, this is instructive. It would say, likewise, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. So that, why do we do these things? It's so that your prayers may not be hindered. So what is really instructive about this verse? Isn't it telling us that if a married man doesn't want his prayers hindered, he must have a proper relationship with his wife. He must honor her and must be understanding toward her. Wouldn't this be something of great value for every married man and every man that is contemplating one day being married should really, really take to heart? It's of great value for men to understand this. You don't want your prayers to be hindered. And yet, we have this little instructive two-word phrase, so that your prayers would not be hindered. And I think that this is also a principle that married women can also make concerning their spouse. We are supposed to get together and excel in the things of the Lord. And, you know, we could take other verses out of Scripture. How can we say that we love God if we don't love our brother? We see our brothers. If we can't get along with them and if we can't love them, how can we say we love God whom we have not seen? And so we do find that there are so that's in the Bible that can help us learn more about the heart of God. You know, there are quite a few so that's in the Bible. For those of you who like to keep count, if you were to go through the King James Version, you would find there's 206 of them. There's 747 so that's in the NIV Version. There's 500 some odd in the ESV. There's a lot of so that's. And of course, I would concede that every time you see that two-word phrase, so that, it is not really very descriptive. Not every one is something that you have to drop what you're doing. Case in point, in one of the translations in the Gospels where it's talking about the sea that has really gotten very turbulent on the Sea of Galilee, the Lord is in the boat with his disciples, he's asleep, and it talks about the wind and the waves. And then the phrase in one of the Gospels says, so that the boat starts getting swamped. All right, well, how instructive is that? Not super instructive, not along the same lines of what we read in that verse in 1 Peter. It can be descriptive. But there are a lot of so that's which are very, very instructive, and we need to pay attention to them. Certainly, there are many here who have memorized 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that reminds us, and listen to this, and you can wait for the so that will be coming. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. What is the result of applying the Bible to your life? Well, it's so that you will be equipped for every good work. Now, Jonathan Maldonado is in the room, right? Jonathan, can you hustle on up here real quick, please? Okay. As he slowly walks down the aisle. Come on, Rachel can run faster than you can walk. Well, that's obvious. Well, let's see how long that takes. Okay, very good. Jonathan Maldonado, this is something that we should really be excited about. Just about, how long ago was it?
A week ago,
he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, like he did. He heard the word of God preached down in Orlando by, who was the preacher?
My dad.
Your dad. Holy smokes. Can't believe that. He trusted the Lord. Everything just fell right into place for him. What was that verse?
John 3:16.
He could say it word perfect in Spanish, maybe not so well in English. Is that about right? Maybe? You don't have to say it right now, but I do know. He was so excited that yesterday when I saw him, he wanted to share that news with me. That is exciting news, wouldn't you agree? And although I know he has a Spanish Bible, today he has an English Bible, because just like that verse says, Jonathan, when you read God's word and you start studying it as you move on from here, won't you see that you will be able, it says, so that you will be equipped for every good work. You going to read the Bible?
Yes.
I know you will. And I think that you'll have some parents that will help you gain more understanding. Anyway, I wanted you to see this young man. He's a new brother in Christ Jesus. And that is pretty exciting. We rejoice in that. God bless you, Jonathan. Thank you. It's that Bible I told you I would have for you. You know, unfortunately, there are many people today who do not spend time in the Word of God. They don't. They may read it casually or perhaps carelessly. People sometimes just breeze right through the Word of God without stopping to see if there's anything that God is really saying to them. How does God speak to you? You know, through His Word. There are some people I know who blitz through the Bible because they are trying to read through the Bible in a year so that they can check off the daily reading, but they're just going through so I can say, well, did it again, I read through the Bible. But the Bible is such where if it is going to be instructive so that each person can be equipped for every good work, you really need to spend time to pause, to hear what is being said, and to have understanding. You know, it's very sad that little effort sometimes is made to memorize Scripture or to even meditate on it. That really is sad. It's almost, to me, like people who carelessly go through the Bible and don't spend time meditating on the verses or even memorizing. It's almost to me like they have that attitude of that other two-word phrase, so what? So what does it matter? So what does it matter? God's Word matters tremendously to each of us. This is how God reveals His perfect will to each and every one of us. It's how we go through it and we get under the conviction from His Word and through the power of His Holy Spirit as far as things that we need to examine in our own hearts and in our own lives. Thinking about Jonathan, in fact, thinking of all of us who have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, I would like to just read some other passage of Scripture that also will have that two-word phrase, so that, and we can maybe understand what God is saying about Himself, the things that He has done, how He has drawn us to Himself, what He wants us to know. So you can almost wait and with anticipation that the so that's are going to come. In 1 John chapter 1:1-4, it says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. You know, this morning I would say, looking at young Jonathan coming on up here, isn't there some complete joy in your heart when you see someone who has had his name written, recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life? What potential there is for this young brother in Christ. Will you pray for him so that he would not stray from the path? What a testimony there is This young man, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He heard the word of God. Oh, it's so blessed that he heard it from the lips of his father, who was teaching at a conference down in Orlando. It was his time. We think often about a passage in Ephesians chapter 2. You know, there's a couple of so that's that are right in there between verses 4 and 10. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works. And why is that? Why is that? It's not a result of any of our works. So that why? Exactly, George, so that we cannot boast. It's not anything that we have done. Nothing in my hand I bring. It's not a baggage of works. They mean nothing. It's all about grace, for we are his workmanship. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. There are two so that's in that passage. And then, if that's not enough, there's another place where Paul also talks about the people that we are or were. Maybe some of us were all that in a bag of chips too. I really don't know. But Paul kind of says this in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, for consider your calling. Consider your calling, folks. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. He is our boast. He's given us all these things so that we can boast and praise him like we did this morning at this place, at this table. We are saved, all of us are saved to be examples. Now, I know that there are some that can be a bad example, but we are supposed to be godly examples, people in the world. And we see that as we are wrapping up this morning, another place that Paul has recorded in Thessalonians. And he writes this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 8 verses. He says this, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved of God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake, Paul talking about him and his co-laborers, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Their circumstances were pretty rugged in Thessalonica, but they received the word. All of us have received the word, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, everywhere, so that we not need to say anything. What a testimony. These people changed. They followed the clear teaching of God. It would say a little bit further on, for what did they give up? They gave up. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus Christ, who delivers us all from the wrath to come. So that, what's our example like to family members, to co-workers, to neighbors? Do they really see a change in our life because we obey the teaching of Scripture? I would propose that this month, it's early in June, take time this month to look at passages slowly that perhaps have the so what's in them. Think about the results or the consequences that are being taught in God's Word. Think about how they apply to you. Memorize a verse or two. Take it to heart. When you memorize, you're meditating on God's word. It says in another place in 1 John, and I love that book. I also love 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And Corinthians is not so bad. But this verse is also precious because there is a nice so that recorded in it. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. That's chapter 2, verse 29 in 1 John. Early in the years after I trusted the Lord, and you know I trusted the Lord when I was 30 years old. My goodness, Jonathan Maldonado, 10. What a head start he has on me. When I was 30 years old, I would listen to Christian radio, and there was a speaker named John DeBrine. And I think he used to close his program with a summary of 1 John chapter 2, 29, because he would tell us all as he was signing off, grow in grace so that you will not groan in disgrace. Grow in grace so that you will not groan in disgrace. The Word of God can protect you, can help you, so that your testimony and your growth in the things of the Lord and the knowledge of the things of the Lord will be locked in your heart, your mind, and it will be precious and obvious to all. We thank you this morning, dear Lord, for the new life that you have given to us. We rejoice in the new life that we have heard, even from the mouth of Jonathan Maldonado. We just really pray that we will love your word, pay attention to your word, and that we would continue to grow in grace, that we would understand the heart of God, that we would understand and we would come to know you better. Help us to grow. Help us to grow. We pray these things in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.